Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. It's time for the Graham Capital Market Update, a daily look at Wall Street, brought to you by Graham Capital, an estate planning and investment management firm right here in Florida. How hard is your money working for you? Let's find out with your hosts, David Graham and Stosh Graham.
This is Dave Graham, the retirement guy, and you're listening to Graham Capital's Market Update, heard every day at 6 p.m. on 1250 WHNC AM. Listen to the show. You get an update of our take on what the market did for the day. Show is brought to you by Graham Capital Advisors. We're the people that you come to when you're getting ready for retirement and you want to make sure you don't make mistakes. You do it correctly. When you leave our office, I guarantee you that giant retirement monkey will be taken off your back. You'll simply feel the stress leave your body. Go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And by the way, if you're a listener, you're just listening to Dave Ramsey's show, here's the good news. We are the only people that Dave Ramsey has appointed on the radio in the southwest part of Florida to actually represent him as a SmartVestor Pro. A SmartVestor Pro, Mike Burkhorn in our office, he represents Dave and his philosophy of investing and thinking, and so do we. So from that standpoint, if you like Dave's show, you like what he believes, then come and see us. Just go again to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And as always, before we get started, let's all offer a huge heartfelt thanks to our police, firefighters, emergency personnel, our teachers. What about all the men and women in the military services who are so far from home and protect us? Where would we be without them? Thank God we have them. And with that, when you're getting ready and start planning for the last stages of working, getting ready to retirement, there's so much you got to start getting in order. Let's just start with this. If you're 59 and a half and you're still working, you're only a couple of years from retirement. Did you know that you could actually now transfer your 401k, your 403b, your 457, your defined benefit plan, your Roth IRA, your pension and profit sharing plan, could be your SEP, single employer plan, anything qualified after 59 and a half, you can self-direct it. And what does that mean? That means you take it out of a plan that basically has invested in models for the last 20, 30 years. Models being, here's a whole set of stocks, you invest in this stock. God forbid, it could even be a target fund. Academic studies have shown they don't even work, but they have them there. You start doing it correctly by going to a fiduciary, somebody that's just as concerned about your retirement as you are, not somebody that's selling a widgets. And God help you if you're going to somebody that has the name of a big bank on their business card. Well, what does that mean? That means they don't work for you. They work for the bank. Come on. Think about it for a second. But you got to do your due diligence. And when you get approaching retirement, one of the first things we're going to tell you is get your house in order. And it's like right now, what is it? It's tax season. Okay. Start working on your taxes. And you heard me say previously, we have a CPA right in our office and we can help you. Again, website address is GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. But what you really need to look at, and you always hear me say, is this three-legged stool, call it a holy trinity, trifecta, call it whatever you like, three-legged dog maybe. But the bottom line is it's legal, it's planning, and it's investing. You have to have all three. If you miss one, you're going to have a miserable retirement, and that's the last 20, 30 years of your life. You need to have all three together and blessed by people that know what they're doing and somebody selling you products. Legal, you go to an attorney that understands estate law. When you pass away, you make sure it goes where you need it to go to. That's easy. Okay, you just need a will for that. But if you only have a will, then you're going to have a probate. AARP says it takes 18 months to have something probated, much less it gives the attorney the opportunity to go in there and take a chunk of it himself and legal fees. You don't want that either. If anyone has assets more than $50,000, $60,000, they should always get a revocable trust. And that trust it will be the foundation of their summation of their life and their monies. And how is that? Well, again, you get a pour over will. I'm not worried about you dying. I'm more concerned about you breaking down and getting sick. Simply because of the fact the leading cause of bankruptcy over the age of 55 is health issues. You know, take that off the table. God forbid something happened to you. It came down with a neurological disease, a stroke, or something, had a bad accident. The last thing you need is to go into your life savings to pay for medical care. And you got to pay for all of it unless you spend down. We don't want you spending down one dime, especially if you're married. So you need to get a good revocable trust that have all the necessary ancillary documents, elder law related, to protect your assets. And if you're married, you'll have a spouse come to bat for you. If you're single, a personal friend, family member can come to bat for you, but you got to give them permission. And that comes with what? Power of attorney. Could be a healthcare surrogate. Could be a mental healthcare surrogate. Florida differentiates between physiological and psychological. What about a nomination of a conservatorship or a guardianship? These are all documents that you need as arrows in your quiver to protect what you have. And at Graham Capital Advisors, we have attorneys that we work with that know can get the job done for you. But that's the building blocks. That's the foundation of your estate plan. It's without the legal foundation. What's the sense of us getting you 3 or 4 points of interest, more than you're getting, and still lose it? Doesn't make sense. Let's take that off the table. All this is a big pile of papers. Once you get it, use it as a doorstop. Usually they give you a disc anyway, but the bottom line is get it, then forget you have it, but know you have it. That is so, so important. And once you get your legal documents, then what do? You go to a real planner. When I say real planner, not somebody that you see in a seminar or you meet in a stock brokerage or a bank. You go to somebody that has a professional designation, you know, like a certified financial planner, certified estate planner, certified senior advisor, maybe even a CPA, somebody that truly has a professional designation. Why do they get that? Because they want to be the best they can be in their profession. Have them create a roadmap for you. So when you're planning for retirement, you're investing, if you get off the road, you know how to get back on the road again. Let them be your GPS. Remember this, we're all good at some things, but most people spend more time planning a summer vacation than they do the last 20 years of their life. So make sure you get that plan in place. And then last but not least, you invest. You invest properly as you get older. You can call it the rule of 100 if you like. You know, for every year of life, have that percentage guaranteed and then invest wisely. So what does that mean? If you're 60 years old, 60% should be pretty much guaranteed or very, very conservatively invested. Very conservatively. Or the other 60% you can put in equities, stocks and bonds. But the main thing is you follow basic rules. And you invest for retirement. That usually means, first rule of investing, don't lose money. Second rule of investing, don't forget the first rule. Look, if you come to Graham Capital Advisors, we can help you. We can show you how easy it is. We can get the job done for you. We love what we do. We have offices in Tampa on Kennedy Boulevard across from North Shore Mall. We have an office on Ringling Boulevard in Sarasota on the corner of Washington Street. And we have one down in Madison. If you could hear us way down there in Northport, Englewood, Port Charlotte. Let me tell you something. It's worth the drive up to Venice to get good professional guidance and advice. And we can bring that to you. So go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And online we have Stosh Graham, the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. How you doing, buddy?
Good afternoon, David.
Well, let me ask you, we received the latest round of retail sales for the month of February. So what's stuck out to you?
How weak they were, to be frank. There was a lot of discussion that we were going to see strong February retail sales data, largely because January was so poor. And the narrative around the January retail sales print was that we had basically a week and a half of a very big winter front that forced a lot of people to stay home. And so a lot of people were expecting a stronger rebound in the month of February, especially when they were looking at some of the initial economic data, the initial GDP figures. There was a wide variety of economic data that people were putting together and saying, hey, you know what? We should see a strong rebound. Problem was, February came in below expectations. Now, we saw improvement, but not nearly level of improvement that the market was expecting. Perhaps most importantly was that you saw January and December get revised lower again. And you saw January's figures revised down to a growth of a contraction of actually 1.1%. And December figures were revised lower from a positive 0.4 to a positive 0.1, basically break even. So that was probably the bigger takeaway, was the continued revising lower of retail sales, which is funny because when we talk about labor market data, you also saw very material revisions lower for January and February. So again, I think you have to keep a very, very close eye on this. The market reacted positively because, again, anything that's bad economically means, oh, that's good for financial monetary policy and that maybe we get a rate cut sooner. And again, we're in this period where this is the dangerous part of the markets, where anything bad is good for the markets because that means you have a Federal Reserve that's at your back. And anything good for the economy is good because that means companies are going to be able to get more for corporate earnings because they're going to be able to sell more. They're going to keep revenue up and it's going to outpace their growth and expenses. So again, what is bad is good for markets and what is good for markets. And that's historically a dangerous place to be.
Well, I guess, look, we're looking at bond yields now. They're jumping all over the place. Because this inflation. So I guess, what is that going to mean to the Fed and people trying to figure out what they're going to be doing?
Right. So, I mean, inherently, it is higher than expected inflation means you're going to have a more hawkish Fed. You're going to have a Fed that's not going to cut interest rates as much as what the market believes. And that's been the growing sentiment the last 2.5 months when we've gone from 6 rate cuts to 3 rate cuts. And obviously, if you get softer inflation data where you get more disinflation, and it wouldn't shock me for the months of March, April, and May if we see actually inflation turn over and you actually see a continued deceleration in the growth of inflation, and say maybe January and February, or in particular February, was an anomaly print. But if you see continued deceleration in inflation growth rates, that means you have a Federal Reserve who could cut rates. Maybe as many times as what the market is already pricing in. I think the chances of 6 rate cuts is simply gone. That's a 1%, 2% odd development. And if that happens, you have a much larger concern because that means the economy has turned over very materially and is moving contracting levels. The Fed is going to try to fight a recession if you're going to get 6 rate cuts at this point. So, and obviously that means bigger issues for corporate earnings. But again, I think that's what you're watching with inflation, and that's how the Federal Reserve is going to react. I know it's simplistic in nature, but you are seeing, unfortunately, a degree of decoupling from that logic, and that's been a fairly recent development.
Well, look, when you see the prices now been paid to U.S. producers, and they've risen much more than forecast, you know, they're even including now, I guess, higher fuel and food costs, and, you know, just wholesale inflation exceeds estimates. What is that? The so-called PPI index. Well, when you see all that, what does that tell you as how is it going to affect the markets?
Well, look, businesses want inflation because it, especially when you factor in the last 2 to 3 years, because inflation gives the companies, while yes, the cost of those goods will go higher, meaning it's going to cost them more to produce it, but they've been able to capture that and then some. They've been able to maintain profit margins in certain sectors. Now, recently, say the last 2 to 3 quarters, you've seen that profit margin growth that was artificially high, say a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's come down and it's continuing to move lower. And you've only really seen a handful of sectors that are able to maintain higher elevated prices or increase their prices without really sacrificing the quantity of goods that they sell. But if we continue to get negative revisions on the labor market, which, again, we just talked about a couple minutes ago.
Right.
Labor market has been one of the tall tale signs for spending. There is a very strong leading correlation in terms of labor market strength, the amount of people who are employed, their confidence in them getting a job, and how much they're willing to spend. But right now, again, it's I don't want to call it a toxic mix, because I think that might be a little sensational. But it is a worrisome development. Again, I was talking about how bad news is good news for the market and good economic news is good news for the market. But look,
right.
Think about where we are with the consumer, okay? We just talked about how January sales contracted, but a lot of that reason was because of weather. That was supposedly the reason. But we didn't get a rebound. We did not, or we got a lack of a rebound for the month of February. And you pair that with the fact that we know savings rates are low. We know people are using their credit cards more. The low-end consumer is stressed because we know there is a acceleration in the amount of delinquencies. People not able to make their minimum payment on their credit card. A rise in delinquencies. You know, more people are using buy now, pay later for everyday purchases. And the higher-end consumer is spending more on experiences and travel than actually on consumer goods. Again, it is a worrisome development because that prices, when you have the high-end consumer spending money on experiences and not buying goods, and we've already talked about how the middle to lower-end consumer is just really spending money on goods, again, it paints a tough picture for a great majority of publicly traded companies, whether on the Dow or the S&P 500, in what their earnings growth and their profit margin is going to look like over the next 12 months. And since the stock market is always a forward-looking entity, you have to look at leading indicators, whether you're talking about inflation, whether you're talking about the labor market, whether you're talking about corporate earnings. You have to look at leading indicators because that's what the market is going to price in the near-term future. Looking back, you know, I know we're spending a lot of time talking about December, January, and February, and that's already happened. That's already priced into the market. But we're looking at the revisions is the important dynamic because that is kind of telling you, if you see it month over month over month, you're seeing revisions lower, then it's telling you the current state of the economy is not as strong. And so then you have to add that to your equation in terms of what you think the future is going to look like. So obviously you add the current situation with the leading indicators, and that kind of gives you a blueprint of what the future is going to look like 6 to 12 months from now.
Sure. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Stosh Graham. He's the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's grahamcapitalwealth.com. And he's the one who manages all the assets of Graham Capital Advisors clients. He's one of the only true money managers that you're going to hear in the state of Florida on the radio. So listen closely. And if you feel you need a good second opinion, then come and call us. Our website address is grahamcapitaladvisors.com. Look, right now, the U.S. government bond yields, they climbed to its highest level in more than a week, you know, after a report showing these wholesale prices rose more than forecast in February, you know, and that naturally start kicking on the confidence that the Fed is going to be doing anything with this interest rates. How high do you think this is going to go? The 10-year notes yield now is as much as 10 basis points. It's up to 4.29. That's the highest level since March 1st. Where do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think it's not necessarily where I think it's going to go. I think it's a combination of what are the variables that are going to be at play for us to get to, say, or what are going to be the variables at play that affect, say we're talking about the 10-year U.S. Treasury. What are the variables at play that are going to affect the 10-year U.S. Treasury? Because it's not the same set of variables, say, 15, 20 years ago when at the time Fed Chair Alan Greenspan had to navigate, or well, I guess Greenspan / Bernanke towards the latter end of that, and how that interest, or what are they going to do? Because Greenspan, certainly the mid-90s, 1994, that was a big time of focus at a time when Fed Chair Greenspan was hiking up interest rates at a point when, you know, people weren't necessarily too sure at the time why. And ultimately, you had a soft landing. And a lot of people think that there might be parallels right now to what we saw in 1994. And I would say I would not. There's a much different situation now. The variables have changed. But I think in regards to the 10-year U.S. Treasury, why this is important to talk about the variables that affect it is right now we have a debt in deficit that is simply multitudes larger than what we saw in 1994. And again, interest rates with the U.S. Treasury, it is a supply-demand dynamic, and it's a longer run, either tailwind or headwind. for the last 15 years, it's been a headwind to keep, headwind to keep energy to get 10-year U.S. Treasury and prevent it from moving materially higher. It's pushing it down. Now it's a tailwind because the deficit in debt is so big that the U.S. Treasury is going to have to issue larger and larger amounts, not just right now, but it's growing next year and the year after that and the year after that. And so you have to be comfortable that there's going to be a lot of demand that's going to be able to keep up with that supply because very at the fundamental level in fixed income markets, and so just in this case, bonds, U.S. Treasuries, your interest rate that you settle at for that bond is dependent on what supply demand is. And so if you have supply going up and demand stays the same or demand falls or demand doesn't keep up with supply, you expect interest rates to move higher. You need the only way you can get supply going up and interest rates lower is you need demand to increase materially more than the supply. And just in the last 2 to 3 years, it hasn't been that way. You've seen demand in some cases move lower, and then in other areas, you've seen it move higher. But the demand for U.S. Treasuries, while it's increased in totality, has not kept up with supply. And I think it's going to be tough to see it continue to keep up with the amount of new supply of U.S. Treasuries, because again, right, the pace of supply of U.S. Treasuries due to the growing debt and deficit is just going to be materially more as we move year to year for the next 3 to 5 years.
Sure. Okay. Well, last week we got inflation data that came in hot. You know, this pushed the stock, that pushed the Federal Reserve plans by market participants. So why did the stock market go up in face of this development, which is normally bad for financial prices? It's kind of an enigma. How did that happen?
Yeah, it is an enigma. And I think it's something that a lot of people are putting together. And I think the conclusion around this is your traditional indicators are just simply different than what I think a lot of people are accustomed to. And it speaks to a market, you know, and I mentioned the word toxic mix. You are getting to that point now where momentum trading, you're seeing a lot of speculation, you're seeing a lot of derivatives trading, a lot of options trading by the retail sector, a lot of naked positions, much more so than your average sentiment or your average period. And so that's certainly a degree, certainly confirms what we see from sentiment surveys, which again is very, very, very high. And again, we referenced this on last week's show. We mentioned a whole host, 4 different surveys, and that has only continued in the last week or two, where these sentiment surveys, whether it's the AAII or the CNN Fear and Greed, or the Citigroup Panic Euphoria, or the Investors Intelligence Survey, all are extremely bullish, or greed, or extreme greed, or extreme euphoria. And so obviously you're seeing this play out, because if you're very optimistic on the stock market, very confident markets can move higher, you're going to take more and more speculative positions. And you've simply seen that increase. So again, it's worrisome to see developments like you just talked about, inflation coming in higher than what people are expecting, a more hawkish Fed moving rate cuts off the table, which is usually bad fundamentally for financial asset prices, because it's generally poor for the underlying operating profitability of the business, because their cost of debt is going up and will maintain high levels or higher levels than expected. But you're seeing the market move higher. And again, I think some of that is you just have a market that is melted higher, and it's just a product of significantly optimistic momentum that's not backed by fundamentals.
Right. Well, when you look at now, you know, the stock market doesn't seem to care about rate cuts. I mean, first, it seems like the market's convinced that they're coming down eventually, and then I guess also secondly, profits at the tech giants, they've been dominating the S&P 500. You know, they're so high that a discount barely even matters. So I guess what other issues are there now with when you look at these tech giants just simply dominating what's going on with the S&P 500. How much longer do you think that's going to last? You know, what goes up comes down. And they're not going to be coming up with a new chip every 60 days, NVIDIA every 60 days or so. How much longer do you think that lasts? Do you think it will last throughout the year?
It's possible. I mean, look, it depends on how much. So in the case of the tech giants who are now moving the market, I think you can remove Tesla from the bunch. You can move Google from the bunch. It's going to be largely what you believe companies are willing to spend on artificial intelligence. And what we know the last 6 months is everyone has jumped into the gate and they're spending money, they're spending capital to a handful of companies to develop the next wave of artificial intelligence, whether you want to call it AI 2.0 or AI 3.0. And obviously, some companies have benefited from that CapEx explosion that you've seen within this space. So really, if you expect the earnings growth of these companies who are trading at very rich levels, for it to continue, this momentum trade to continue in these names, you need that level of capital expenditure to continue. And I just fail to see a situation where you're going to be able to see that level of capital expenditure continue to move higher to where those companies justify their high earnings and thus keep the market broadly, the headline indices, moving higher. It's a tough picture, especially considering everything we just talked about the last few minutes about how a majority of the companies in the S&P 500 are struggling to maintain their degree of profitability. And we just talked about several leading economic components for corporate profits and how they are broadly negative.
Right. Well, Stasha, as always, we appreciate your sound sage advice, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow, buddy. You take care. Let's see how the day wraps up, okay?
Absolutely. Take care, David.
If you're a new listener, you're listening to Stash Graham. He's the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's grahamcapitalwealth.com. And look, when you're getting ready for retirement, you need not to make any mistakes, okay? And so here's a few things I can tell you what to do real quickly here. Okay, write out what a 7-day week would look like for you, and then practice that lifestyle before retiring. So if you're still working, you can't take a few months off and pretend that you're in retirement. Think about how you can actually pretend you're retired. Maybe possibly use accumulation, vacation, or sick time to do nothing and stay in town. Don't go on a vacation or travel, just stay in town. Get a sense of how retirement might look like and feel to you. And then you get a better idea of why we say what we say about getting our house in order. Because just stopping from our daily routine, not getting that check every 2 weeks, that in itself is going to be a shock to your system. And at Graham Capital Advisors, we're going to try to assuage any concerns you might have about anything. Okay, when it comes to the issue of retirement, it comes to the issue of doing things right with your monies. So come and see us. And let's do the heavy lifting for you. Go to our website. It's grahamcapitaladvisors.com. Really want to be lucky in life? Go help someone. God's going to smile on you. You're going to get to be incredibly lucky. We're lucky to be Americans, right on our currency. In God we trust. Good luck. God bless. Take care of each other. Stay safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Graham Capital Market Update. For more information on any of today's topics, visit grahamcapitaladvisors.com. This program is sponsored by Graham Capital Advisors, LLC, an independent estate planning and insurance agency. Investment advisory services are provided by Graham Capital Wealth Management, LLC, an independent registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Graham Capital Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. The information provided is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. Individuals should consult a qualified professional for guidance before making any purchasing decisions.